Guardians are 48-50. They're teetering back to 500 here quickly. They've done a nice job in the last 10 games. They are 8-2, and that would make them what? I'm not going to do the math on it. But when you go back and look at what they've done in this last 10 game stretch, I think we should all be pretty happy about the way they're playing. The pitching has been really, really good, and they've gotten a little bit of timely hitting here. They're still, like, when you look at the diff, it just always makes me ill because we're in the red and we're minus 43. So that means that we've allowed 43 more runs than we've scored. And, you know, that's the second worst in the American League Central. Only the White Sox are worse at 78. And the Orioles, who the Guardians will play, they're minus 99. So there's another team coming in here. And the A's are the only other team that are, you know, in that kind of a hole. So, Jeff, Buster only had a story, and we were talking about this before the break, that Buster only is saying that the Guards only have four untouchable players: Jose Ramirez, Stephen Kwan, Emmanuel Clase, and Cade Smith. That's it.
He says everyone else is available, with the Guardians hoping to get maximum value and find more offense.
Are you trading anybody out of the rotation? Let's lead this conversation there.
See, that's the thing I have when I read that, I thought, okay, and we've heard, you know, we've kind of heard that. But then, you know, let it sink in. You'd trade Tanner Bibee? You would trade Gavin Williams? You would trade Slade Ciccone? Logan Allen's been really good this year. Would you trade Logan Allen? I'm not trading any of those four guys. Because to me, Andy, good, young, quality starting pitching is the best thing you can have as a team moving forward, especially when it's under team control. And it is. So why would you bust that up? Because I think it's going to take a lot to fix this offense.
So
not one bat. I think it's going to take three or four bats to fix this offense.
Here's how good the starting pitching's been. I mean, how long ago was it that Luis Ortiz got suspended or paid administrative leave? I mean, that's been a couple weeks now, right?
Yeah.
And has anyone...
It's been the All-Star break, though.
Has anyone noticed?
Well, it's been the All-Star break.
Anyone talking about it?
Has he missed?
So what's he missed? Three starts?
I don't think he's even missed that many yet. Has he? I'm just not moving any starting pitching. And I want to see Joey Cantillo. So Joey's been up. We'll see what he can do. I just think this team has such a... And I know, okay, well, they're great with starting pitching. So you can trade some because they have more on the way. Maybe. But this team, I think if it's going to win this year, is going to have to do it with good starting pitching and a good bullpen. Like I don't want to move Hunter Gaddis either. I think Hunter Gaddis has done a really nice job out of the bullpen. Not just this year, but I think he's a top-notch back end of the bullpen guy. I don't want to move him. I don't, in this case, want to bust up something that's doing pretty well to put a Band-Aid on something that isn't. Now, if there's a bat or two that come back in a deal for a starter and they think one of their guys isn't quite ready and maybe Parker Messick is a AAA, former second-round pick, okay, you might be able to talk me into that. But, man, I'm hard-pressed to bust up that rotation, Andy. I think the guys are doing a really nice job.
Is there anybody who is untouchable in the rotation then?
I would think
to
so.
You. Who is it?
Well, I don't want to trade Gavin Williams or Slade Ciccone. Now, that I didn't mention Logan Allen.
Mm-hmm.
I like Logan. Last year, remember they sent him down to the minors and there seemed to be something going on. I think he's come back and done a really nice job. Good starting pitching is difficult to find, and I think they have a very nice rotation, and I don't want to mess with it. But again, I told you how I might move somebody if you needed to.
All right, Dan, let me fire these same two questions at you because I think Jeff and I are on the same page. So it's kind of, I'm interested to hear what you have to say. Of those four guys that he said are untouchable, I'm still a little, if they thought they could get a major haul for Clase or Cade Smith, I would do it right now. I don't have a problem with it. Knowing that you'd be keeping one of these guys that could close and if you traded Clase, the drop-off would probably be a little bit more than it would be on Cade Smith, but you never know. You got to give Cade Smith the opportunity to work his way into Class A's world. So, but I don't know if that's the case. I'd rather hang on to Class A if I thought I could make a run at the playoffs this year or next year. I'm not letting the best or one of the best closers in the game go bye-bye for nothing. So that's where I'll start. But my question for you then is Buster only correct in what he said, saying that the Guardians only have four untouchables, Ramirez, Kwan, Class A, or Smith? And Smith.
I respect the heck out of Buster only. I don't think that's 100% correct. I think they would listen on Class A, especially if somebody would call up and make an offer. Too. I think they will listen on anybody who is not named Jose Ramirez. And it's just due to the fact that Chris, as we know with Chris Antonetti, if the phone rings, he will answer.
Well, he's supposed to.
And he's supposed to. And that's his job, and that's the smartest way to go about it. But the one thing that the Guardians do, and I'll never forget, we had David Sampson on, who was the former, I don't remember what his job title was with the Marlins, but a higher up with the Marlins.
Like a CEO kind of thing.
And I'll never forget him coming on with us and saying how much of a pain in the rear end it is to deal with the Cleveland Guardians. And he meant it in the most complimentary fashion, because he goes, they have a price. They set their price. And if you meet their price, they're willing to talk. But they will go no lower than their price. And they will negotiate no lower than their price. And so I think that plays into it with this exact conversation. The starting pitching market at the trade deadline is weak. I feel like we say that every single year, but it feels very weak this year. So I could see somebody calling up the Guardians and going, okay, here's a boatload for Tanner Bibee. He's under 2 years of club control because of that new extension. Here's a boatload for him. And the Guardians going, well, let's have a meeting. You know, what's our price tag for Tanner Bibee? Same thing with Gavin Williams, because the starting pitching market is so weak. The other thing I come back to, and I throw this at the two of you. Do you believe in the long-term success of the Detroit Tigers? Do you think what we're seeing is real?
Yes.
For this year, yes. Unless something crazy happens in next year. But I see, right now, immediately, yes. No questions.
Tigers have a nice team.
Which direction do you believe the arrow is pointing for the Minnesota Twins? Up, down, or
sideways?
Straight.
Sideways. No, sideways. I agree with that, too. Jeff, stop thinking like me. Stop. Okay,
keep going. Scary.
The Kansas City Royals. Is this year the hiccup and they're actually legit?
I think
Is this year the team that
Royals
is
are pointing up?
Is this year legit or is last year legit? That's probably the better way to put
it. I think the Royals are pointing up.
Okay.
I kind of feel like they're in the same boat as the Twins, but keep going.
Okay. And the White Sox are in the toilet.
Yeah,
they're going to be in the toilet for the next 5 years.
They're going to Australia so they can have the water go the other way.
Right.
Funny.
Thank you.
So if you look at the landscape,
maybe that's what's up with Bizana.
If you look at the landscape of your division,
confused.
Good point. Maybe he's mesmerized. Hey, mate, the water's going the wrong way.
Oh my God!
Wouldn't it lead you to think that unless somebody makes you some kind of a godfather offer, that either you should stand put or maybe even add?
I saw a rumbling out of Los Angeles, and the Dodgers, of course, have a terrific team. They go after anybody and everybody, and they also have a good farm system. Dan, I'm not sure how to say his first name, but their number one prospect is an outfielder named DePaula, and he's a 6'3", 185-pound left-handed hitter, left-handed thrower, and he's only 20. And he was listed as one of the guys coming to the Guardians in this story for a deal involving Class A and Kwan. And it was like four or five guys from the Dodgers coming over here. But the guy's name, it looks like Jose, except there's a U between the S and the E. So I'm not sure. Do you know his name?
No.
It's
prospects break my brain.
Yeah,
I can't handle it.
But anywho, you know, if you could get the number one hitter out of an organization like that, and they consider him the MLB.com says the most advanced young hitter their organization has had in years is the way the Dodgers feel about this kid. But that's the type of guy who, like, if out of nowhere Chris Antonetti gets a phone call and they're asking for somebody on this team, and a team is willing, hey, this is our guy. You know what a great prospect this guy is. But now, see, this kid's only in high A ball. You're going to bust things up for a kid in high A ball? That's a big leap.
It starts with Andy Páez. If the Dodgers call, the conversation starts with Andy Páez.
Well, and see, and he was listed in the deal as well.
Right.
And that's the type of thing where if a team that's on top spends a ton of money, has great prospects, and there are several of those teams, and they want to call the Guardians and give them a boatload for somebody with the idea that they think that guy will get them over the top and they can win it all this year. And the Guardians are thinking, yeah, we're competitive, but do we have a team that we think is ready to win it all? Probably not. And you could get something like that. You might have to, you know, bite the bullet on that and make that deal. And that's the type of thing that you might be looking at.
All right, let's circle back here. 9 days to go until the trade deadline. Are the Guardians trying to make a run for that last wild card spot? Is that what the goal should be, or is the goal to try to just rebuild towards next year? What is the goal? You have 9-10 days away from the trade deadline. Jeff Phelps.
I'm looking ahead more than I'm looking at this year. I don't think this team right now is good enough to go real deep in the playoffs. So I'm not giving up any top prospect. I'm not giving up anybody out of the starting rotation for a temporary bat to come in here. In other words, I'm not going to do a Lane Thomas deal this year. I'm not. You know, they were looking for that last year. They went out and brought in Lane Thomas. Other than pretty good run in the playoffs, Lane hasn't worked out very well here. I'm not going to do that again. You know, they gave up Alex Clemmie and Jose Tena. And Clemmie's a good young pitching prospect who the Nationals have, and Tena has played for them. And I'm just not going to do that this year because I don't think the rest of the team is ready to go. However, if somebody knocks my socks off and gives me a ton of stuff that I think, man, that's going to make me a great team in 2026 and 27 and 28, I'd be real tempted to make a move.
I am not looking at it the same way you are. I don't care how deep they can get into the playoffs. Get me to the playoffs. Get me a ticket to the dance, and we'll see how long I can dance for.
Get
so
me a ticket
I to am the- not. I am not looking at this baseball season as, well, even if they get to the playoffs, they're not going to get very far. I don't see that.
I don't think I sounded that way.
I wasn't saying you, but there are other people that say it that way. I'm not looking at
like
it that
a
way.
1950s cartoon villain.
He did, yeah.
Thank you.
He's going to like pull the mustache. Oh,
mumbly. Talk more about this as we progress, but I'm playing for this season. Scott Petrak is playing for
the Chronicle-Telegram.
I don't know, one of six quarterbacks for the Browns. Maybe they'll sign him today. Scott Petrak, Chronicle-Telegram, next.